When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Stu Jackson, Kamikaze Kid, University of Oregon, back in the day, Dick Harter era. He told me he's coming to the Oregon-Illinois football game. It's homecoming. Stu Jackson is now the WCC commissioner after some time in the NBA executive front offices. Stu Jackson with the WCC. I sat down with him yesterday at Pac-12 WCC Mountain West Conference basketball media days, and I started by asking him, are you tired about talking basketball and answering questions? Here's my interview with Stu Jackson.
How'd it go for you? Are you tired of talking same questions over and over?
No, not at all, John. I mean, I never get tired of talking about basketball, and I never grow tired of talking about the WCC. We started yesterday with the women's media days, which was terrific in its own right. And, today we're wrapping up with the men, and it's just wonderful to see the cross-pollination between the student-athletes and the coaches, many of whom have, intertwined sort of athletic lives in many respects. And the energy is palpable, here at Resorts World. And, it's been fun.
Did you have media day back in the day when you were at Oregon and Kamikaze Kids and all of that? Did they do a media day?
Not that I recall. No.
You didn't go to Vegas? You didn't get to
hang out at a resort? And, yeah. We didn't do anything like that. They gave us a hamburger and told us to go home and get ready for the season.
All right. Before we get into the WCC stuff, what your memories of that time? I think there's a big reunion going on for homecoming week. Illinois coming to town and Oregon's doing homecoming. You're going to be part of that?
I am. And really looking forward to it. There's a reunion of sorts of the old Kamikaze Kids, which is my old team at the University of Oregon. And, many of us still remain in contact, being together will just be a heck of a lot of fun. I mean, my old roommate Ernie Kent will be there, Ronnie Lee, Rob Kloss, Mike Drummond, Bert Fredrickson, Gerald Willett. So it's just going to be great.
What made that era special? Because when I got to the state of Oregon 20 years ago, it's all anybody talked about.
What made it special was just the uniqueness of our style of play.
Yeah.
The uniqueness of our coach and Dick Harter, and the energy that team and Coach Harter generated in a community that they hadn't seen around the sport of basketball, and that's what made it unique. And then it even carried over, to the national level.
And did you get a sense when you make that decision you're going to go play at Oregon, that style of play appeal to you, or is that something where you get there and you go, oh wow, like.
It did appeal to me, and you have to remember, most people listening won't remember, but the poster child for the Kamikaze Kids was really Ron Lee, and he was a very powerful, physical, talented basketball player, and someone that all of us felt that, we wanted to play with a guy like that. So that was a conscious decision, and, for me personally, I thought I could play right away, which I did. And the second thing was, being a kid from southeastern Pennsylvania in a steel town, going to Oregon, I had never experienced anything like that.
As far away as you can get.
And I thought I was in Shangri-La, so... Yeah, so that's the reason for the decision.
We're talking to Stu Jackson, WCC commissioner. The conference realignment stuff, you look really smart right now because of you add Grand Canyon, you add Seattle. You were one of the few conferences, I think, that made a proactive move. Obviously, Gonzaga going out the door isn't great, but you look like you saw it coming and wanted to be in position.
Well, I didn't see, this level of realignment happening nationally. Yeah. I mean, that just is a phenomenon that really snowballed. But I was a little bit looking inward and wanting to, for our conference, start to begin to find alternative, you know, sources of revenue, but more importantly, stabilize our membership. At the time BYU had left, we were at 9 members. Being a 9-member conference is not sustainable. And I also felt that while one of the real virtues of the WCC was the fact that, you know, they were stable. You know, their members have been around forever. It's been a stable conference, but it also cuts both ways, right, John? You're also prey in this realignment, environment. And I didn't necessarily want to sit back until someone began to pick us apart. And, you know, that's not totally in my control, as evidenced by the fact that, you know, Gonzaga, you know, to their credit, you know, found their valuation out there in the open market, and they left, and I congratulate them for the institution, because they've been a great member of this conference for, you know, over 4 decades. But that you can't control. Now we're in a situation where we have to determine what our next set of moves are.
The phone call that you get, is it from the university president at Gonzaga? Is it from Mark Few? That moment where it becomes a reality. I think it's like 10 o'clock the night before the announcement's going to be made. It couldn't have been a surprise call. Like, you must have had some inkling that something was going on. But what was that conversation like?
Well, it was not a surprise call. And to be clear, Gonzaga has spoken to other conferences over the years. I mean, dating back to 2017, and more recently the Big 12, and then subsequent to that, obviously the Pac-12. And to Gonzaga's credit as an institution, and you know, Thane McCullough, the president, and Chris Stanifer, the AD, they were very transparent about conversations and shared what they could along the way during discussions with both of those conferences. And while I got the call, you know, the night before from President McCullough, it wasn't a surprise call.
Yeah.
And I congratulated him. I wished him the best. And they're going to still be with us for two more years, or at least through the academic year in 2026.
How quickly does the WCC need to think about maybe adding more members, or, you know, is there a timeline in your mind to talk with your members and your presidents?
Well, the membership expansion discussion is something we've been engaging the presidents with, well over a year, more frequently than probably has been needed in years past. But the answer is, John, is that in a perfect world, we would afford ourselves some time to be selective about any member or members that join the conference. In the imperfect world, if we get another wave of realignment and we have to adjust quickly, then that takes on a little bit of a different light. But in either case, whether we add one or two members, we also have to put on the table and look at something bigger. Yeah. Than just adding one or two members. We're in a unique situation being in the western part of the United States. It's, you know, where, you know, the opportunity to add members, those candidates, they aren't plentiful.
Yeah.
So if they're not, then what's next? Is it, some sort of collaboration, affiliation, scheduling alliance with a conference or conferences? All of that needs to be on the table at this juncture.
Yeah, that's interesting you point that out. I was going to ask you, you see the SEC and the Big Ten getting together on football. Could the WCC get together with the Pac-12? Could it get together with the Mountain West in a basketball, some kind of basketball scheduling thing, or maybe even a in-season tournament or something, some creative asset?
No, it's a fair point, and it's something we have to look at. It was interesting to note, at the end of the SEC Big Ten meetings, they signified that what was the focal point? It was a scheduling alliance, right, to improve the overall strength of their institutions. And at some level, we have to, as a basketball conference, consider that same sort of strategy and philosophy, albeit keeping an eye on trying to add members that make the most sense for us if they're out there and available.
These are weird times. These are so I'm trying to think back to your playing days. If you even go back 3 or 4 years ago, the domino effect of USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12. They didn't give the Pac-12 that courtesy of being transparent, and maybe that could have been stopped. This season, you know, you're going to probably get asked a lot about Gonzaga, but what are you excited about basketball-wise in the WCC?
I'm excited about the depth of our conference, particularly with the addition of Oregon State and Washington State and the returning strength of the top half of our league. And I'm speaking about, you know, the LMUs and Santa Clara's and USF and St. Mary's and Gonzaga. A lot of returning players, you know, older teams. That hopefully translates into high-level performance that will result in perhaps three bids this year instead of two or even more. So I'm excited about the prospect of that. Of course, our teams have to perform in November and December, but if they do, it could really be good times for the WCC.
This is strange to see three conferences really here today. You got a little bit of Pac-12 here, you got a little bit of WCC and Mountain West, but thank you for spending some time with us. I appreciate you, man.
No, always appreciate talking to you, and look forward to talking to you again.
That's Stu Jackson, the WCC commissioner, former Kamikaze Kid at the University of Oregon, in a really weird dynamic on this Media Day Thursday interview that I did with him in Las Vegas. I wanted to share that with you because it just shares the mindset of a WCC commissioner. You know, he's lost Gonzaga to the Pac-12. He is probably a little fearful that the Mountain West might try to pull a Pac-12 move and come after Grand Canyon or come after St. Mary's. You know, is there a move out there for Gloria Navarez in the Mountain West? We shall see. But Stu Jackson not sitting around waiting. Sounds like he wants to be proactive. Sounds like he wants to do what the Big Ten and the SEC are doing with football. And in a basketball sense, create a partnership or an alliance or some kind of scheduling arrangement with another conference. Will it work? We'll see. What's on tap this weekend? Stick around and we'll fill you in.
88% of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.